Hey everyone, welcome. It's We Watch Stuff 182. I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just chilling and trying to get my... looking at my finger after I chopped off a piece of it.
Yep, I purposely didn't bring that up beforehand because... what did you do?
I was cutting radishes with a mandolin. And they always say with a mandolin slicer, be very careful. Otherwise, you'll chop off a piece of a finger. And I chopped off a small piece of my finger.
Oh, and they can't sew it back on? They're just gone?
I mean, it's not a big piece. It's just skin. You know,
oh,
damage.
Oh, okay. Well, when you say that, it's like, oh, shit. And then my stupid ass, when you said you cut it off with a mandolin, I was like, when did you start playing that?
Good
Lord. Yeah, hey. Yeah. It hasn't been the swiftest of weeks. So, yeah, but I purposely did not bring that up because I was just...
No, it was people think, oh, so you're missing a hand. I'm like, you think I'd be typing on Facebook if I chopped off half my thumb on my right hand?
I think like, you know, some people who are on social media that if that happened, yeah, they'd still be doing it. So
yeah, you seeing me, you know, Instagramming from the damn hospital. So, but no, it's healing fine. That was just annoying because it's like, you don't realize how important your thumb is, especially in your dominant hand, till something happens with it. And whenever you try to open something or twist something or just do anything, it's just like rubbing there. So it's just been annoying more than anything.
Yeah, it's like that with like any injury to a part of you that you're like, what? This, and you realize just how like everything, the whatever, the knee bone's connected to the leg bone, that sort of that song. But then you start to get into it, you're like, why does my pinky toe hurting affect the way I'm walking so much? Because supposedly we don't need them. But yet, if that thing's broken, it's just miserable. You can't put your shoes on, can't do anything. You just take it for granted, basically. So, well, that's what you get for eating healthy. So, never heard of someone cutting their finger off opening up a cheeseburger. So, I'm just going to tell you to say it like that.
Yeah, they give it time. Or you probably never heard about buffalo, so.
I thought you said, yeah, well, usually they cut people's hearts open after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Nah, that was too easy.
Yeah. All right, so this was done on purpose because I was told not to waste my time. You went and saw X-Men, almost said Apocalypse. You went and saw Dark Phoenix. So it's not X-Men Dark Phoenix, it was just... Dark Phoenix for some reason. So, all right, how'd it go?
I mean, it was bad, but it was boring bad.
Oh.
Like it wasn't even like X-Men Last Stand or like X-Men Origins Wolverine where it's like bad, but like it's so bad, there's funny parts to it. It was kind of like it was just disappointing bad. And the worst part about it was. The last third of the movie, like it was, I watched the movie and I was thinking like, there was a good movie here somewhere and it could have been a good movie. And that's what bothered me the most. Like it was kind of like, you know, it was just bad because incompetence.
Yeah. Well, first time director.
But no, and you know, this funny thing about it is like first time director, but then you start doing research and like apparently he helped finish Days of Futures Past and Apocalypse because Bryan Singer kept vanishing.
Really?
And Fantastic Four, when they kicked Josh Trank off.
Wow.
So that's why, the reason why like Jennifer Lawrence and Michael Fassbender and McAvoy came back was because Ken Burtt was still the director, because they really like what he did with Apocalypse, I guess, when Bryan Singer went AWOL. So it was all this stuff about, you know, he worked behind the scenes, he was doing all this and that, but... yeah, I couldn't tell. Like, the movie is just, like, boring, and you don't really get any action till like what, almost an hour in.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and I say this, like the scene, like the train, like it's from the time they're in the park to the train scene, it's like maybe 30 minutes, and that part's fun. The problem is everything that happens before that and how it ends. It's just, they make you want to care about these people you have no reason to care. That's the biggest thing. It's like that whole time change, like every 10 years, it's a different decade. And it's like, they look exactly the same as they did in the 80s. It's supposed to be the 90s. the original X-Men came out in 98. That's what will be the 2000s. So in 10 years, James McAvoy turns into Patrick Stewart. What happened in those 9 years to make him age 30 years? And I know we make fun of Patrick Stewart like looking the same since Star Trek Next Generation, but he don't look like James McAvoy.
No. Well, okay, that was always the confusing part about X-Men to begin with, that they did this stuff, and I just figured after Days of Future Past, that was it. Like, there was no more. I know they showed him at the end or whatever, but I always figured that was it. Like, that was the end of those guys. So this, it was just supposed to be, I mean, I haven't seen this. So wait, Patrick Stewart's not in this, is he?
No.
Okay. So I was always gathering that, you know, it was McAvoy, Fassbender, they were Professor X and Magneto going forward, including Jennifer Lawrence. That's how I, you know.
And that's the problem, like, the whole time travel thing is, like, you can do it if it's self-contained, but it's not self-contained. And, like, you just... Yeah, somebody made a good point, and it was, like, Matthew Vaughn was being interviewed. He was saying the problem with Days of Future Past was the fact that if he had his way, that would have been the last movie, because that would have been a perfect way to end it. And the problem happened is they brought the script to Fox, and Fox liked it so much they wanted to do that next, and Matthew Vaughn didn't have time to do it, so he went into Kingsman. And I think he's got a good point, because after Days of Future Past, it's just been downhill, and it's like you just feeding stuff that don't feed. And then Apocalypse ends, and you have them in like their comic book costumes and uniforms and everything like that, and then they tease Mr. Sinister.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Exactly. Dark Phoenix starts, and they're wearing these pajama uniforms, and you hear nothing. They just drop that. Like, those uniforms just look tacky. And people, like, it's kind of like, and it's not the fact, with like, when you think about, like, you had them in uniforms, and whatever reason, they said test audience, whatever, it's like, oh, it's, they've always had this thing where they can't embrace me in comics. They've always, like, Fox has always had that problem with X-Men movies.
Yeah. I think the closest was Apocalypse. I mean, that was only really, that was only, Psylocke? Is that her name? No.
Oh, it's funny. The villains looked like they were supposed to look like the heroes, at least. Even, they had, like, matching costumes that were sort of, quote-unquote, flight suits. But even then, they looked more like comic booky. These, like pajama pants from Dollar General. Oh, like, wow. they just look cheap, and it just looked, like, raggedy. And, yeah, so it's like it already starts there, and they doing all this, like, the biggest thing is you can't do the Phoenix Saga in one movie.
Mm-mm. No, we said that when it was first announced.
And I know they said they wanted to do it in two movies, and that would have made it better, but you still would have had the same director doing it. And all this talk is like, we want to make it grounded, we want to make it about the psychological thing. I'm like, the Phoenix Saga involves space, aliens, monsters eating planets. Like, it's too much weird stuff going on and too much soap opera stuff going on to try to make it grounded like it's Logan. Like, this movie just shows that it's been, even with the good movies, it's too many people involved on X-Men movies that do not understand what the X-Men is about.
Yeah. I've gotten that, kind of gotten that anyways from watching some of them. I mean, I enjoyed the first X-Men. It's not that great, but I enjoyed it. X2, I thought was... I love that one. That's got to be universally everyone's favorite one, right?
If you ask now, and it's just the X-Men movies, not the Deadpool and Wolverine movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's either X2 or Days of Future Past. No, it's X2, Days of Future Past, and First Class, depending on who you ask. It's like those three. As far as, like, the best, because it's kind of like First Class gets a lot of love, and I get the reason why, although I have, like, I like it a lot, but I don't think it's my favorite. Days of Future Past is my favorite, but X2 was, like, the original, like, X2 and Spider-Man 2 was the original, these, like, the best comic movies before, like, the whole MCU and, like, mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan Batman movies. It was always those who get compared, so yeah, but it's... It's funny, we've been talking about everything beyond the movie. Like, the movie starts, they do their mission in space, and, like, all of a sudden, the X-Men are, like, heroes. People have their dials and stuff. Professor Xavier can talk to the president. like on a direct call. They're like rock stars. And Mystique is like, why are we doing all this? Like, we're risking our lives so these jokers can like us. And Professor Xavier, like, you know, if we had one bad day, they won't like us again. And she's like, this is all about your ego. And he, you know, like, what's the X in X-Men stand for, basically? Like, this is his whole, like, the X-Men is basically a vanity project, is how they are framing this. Dazzler shows up for 5 seconds. She shows up, she's singing a song, does her powers. They don't mention her name. They don't bring her up again. It's just like a blink and you miss. Like, if you was eating your popcorn and you, like, 4 or 5 seconds, you would have missed it. You would have had no idea she was there. And you would have never noticed that you missed it. So,
Who played her? Anybody? Or
nobody famous.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that happens. You know, she gets infected with the Phoenix Force. They do not call it that. They never name it. It's just an alien force. Jessica Chastain shows up playing some no-name shape-shifting villain with, you know, sleepwalking it through because that's how the role was written. They fight Jean. Mystique dies. Beast gets mad. He goes, like, first Jean goes to Magneto for help. He says no. Then Beast goes there like, we're going to kill her. Like, Beast is all like, you know, let's kill the bitch, basically, because he killed my girlfriend. We were about to leave, and then they finally run into Jean. They have a nice fight. Then the military shows up or stops all of them. Then the aliens come to try to fight. And then it's like a fight scene. The fight scene on the train is actually fun because, like, the first time you've seen, like, these X-Men be like badasses. Because, you know, the funny thing, you watch X-Men movies, if it ain't Wolverine, they normally lose fights.
Yes.
In nearly all of them. And I only noticed that because this is like the first one. It's like, oh, Cyclops actually can fight. It only took a zillion movies for that to happen. Storm actually looks like a bad... okay, here's my biggest problem.
No, I just like the way you cut yourself off.
No, because I brought up with Storm. It's that they give gravitas to these kids that's not earned. Like, you know, Storm's supposed to be the second in command. It's so important to the X-Men. And I'm like... why would I know that? X-Men Apocalypse, she was a villain up until the end. And I haven't seen anything between that and Dark Phoenix. Now all of a sudden, she looks the same age. And now all of a sudden, she's a grizzled leader and all this stuff. I'm like, that don't work because you told me.
Did they say how much time has passed?
Yeah, it's always, it's basically went, well, it's in the 90s. They don't say what part of the 90s. And the only reason you know it's the 90s because they say it's the 90s, but it's not like it does, unlike the 70s and 80s, it doesn't look like the 90s. It's not like Captain Marvel where you know it's the 90s. It's this one they told you. So,
okay.
Yes, but beyond that, you wouldn't know. But yeah, that's the biggest issue is that they try to make you care about stuff that they haven't put the work in to make you care about. And it just shows up in this movie. It's like, I know, like, it's not the actor's fault because the dude playing Cyclops, Ty Sheridan from Ready Player One, he did as well as he could trying to make you feel like, you know, he loved Jean and he would do anything, including telling Magneto, part of my language, like, if you touch her, I'll fucking kill you. Because, you know, the X-Men has to have one F word per move. But beyond that, it's like, yeah, it was just boring. And the music just went. And I noticed after an hour, you ever see a movie where the music never stops? Like, it's always music in the background. And I noticed that. And it just kept going. And it was just droning and this there. And, like, it was no quiet time. It was just always just there, like a bee buzzing that you don't see.
That's weird.
Yeah. Like, the sound, like, yeah, it was like, you don't have to have background music all the time. You can have quiet times or hear people talk. Even when people were talking, you hear, like, the music there just going on and on. And then the movie ends, they're playing chess, and you see Jean flying around in the sky, like, you know, in the Phoenix symbol, and that's it.
Wait, what? Now, you can tell me, all right, spoilers, yeah. You can say what happens. I'm not going to go see it.
That's what happened.
Wait, what? Okay, I missed something then. Okay, so
they had to fight the train. So what happened was that Jessica Chastain is playing like this alien race that's trying to get the power of the Phoenix back from Jean to use it herself. if they can't control Jean, because like the Phoenix Force destroyed their planet. So she gets some of the power. She goes back to try to get the rest of it. The X-Men are fighting back, and then Jean finally embraces her power, starts basically disintegrating everybody like it's no big thing. Like, you know, I touch you, turn to dust. She gets stabbed in the chest. She turns the blade into the dust and then kills the alien. Like, it's a real badass thing. She hugs Jessica Chastain. They explode. And then at the end of the movie, you see, like, the Phoenix flying in the sky while Professor Xavier Magneto playing chess. Because Professor Xavier leaves, you know, he leaves the school, and now Beast is running it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's like, huh? Okay.
$200 million reshoots, and they said they did reshoots because they didn't want it to end like Captain Marvel or some other movies. And it's funny, even though they did that movie before Captain Marvel even started, but since they kept moving the date around, they had to change this and change that. And they was like, oh, you know, Marvel plans on doing reshoots in the schedule. We never thought about that. It's difficult, you know, working out logistics. Like, so, don't say stuff like that out loud.
So there was supposedly another, like, shocking death or something. Does one of the other X-Men die?
No. I think they will probably have it. They probably changed it.
Oh.
Because you can tell they changed some stuff. And they talked about how it was supposed to be a two-part movie. And it's sort of in. The movie is a lot different now. It's supposed to be everything you read about it. You can tell that they changed stuff. It's kind of like the first half of the movie, the fight scene at the final third, and the ending are like three completely different movies. Like, the ending was not, I could tell watching the ending, it was not supposed to end that way.
Okay.
So, and it's kind of like, but it's a lot of stuff they could have did. It's whatever. It's like, it's done. And I remember we talked about it when the schedule came and they moved Alita. Cause remember, this movie was supposed to come out February.
Yeah.
But it got moved. Battle Age Alita got moved because they didn't want that movie to get destroyed by like Aquaman and Bumblebee and Mary Poppins. And I remember we talked about on the show, like, if they don't move, no one's going to see Alita. So they moved it and worked for Alita because enough people saw it for them to like make a profit. But then X-Men got banged by, you know, one, the fact like you get moved twice, it's our people already looking at you a funny way. And it's the fact you get moved in summer season. It's like, you know, the Avengers is like, this movie's still out that people want to see.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, even like Avengers, not, you know, not any kind of Avengers, like, you know, Aladdin's still making money. John Wick made almost 24 million dollars more its opening weekend domestic. Imagine that. An R-rated Keanu Reeves niche, but start off a niche Keanu Reeves movie is making more than an X-Men movie.
Well, it's been diminishing returns for X-Men anyways.
But not that diminishing. Even, like, no. I mean,
no one really cared that this movie was coming out. I mean, or even the last show we did, afterwards, I was like, we forgot about Dark Phoenix coming out. And that wasn't even until, what, Wednesday or something? Mm-hmm. And we did a show that Monday. So, I mean, and if, like, that's kind of our thing. We're supposed to be up on this, and neither one of us, we even said, we do at the end of every show. So what's coming up this week? Neither one of us said it. That's how far out of mind it was, and we're the audience for these. So I can't imagine, like, a wide audience going, oh, we gotta see this one. And I don't know, I don't know if the superhero genre is gonna get hit a little bit until Spider-Man, no, just hang on, I wasn't done yet. With Avengers coming out, like, any of the ones coming out this year, if it's like, wow, Avengers, you know, kind of like a come down, and then, oh, all right, we got to get back up for Spider-Man now. Like, if there's that fatigue.
Nope.
Not overall. I just meant, like, in the median until Spider-Man comes out.
You know what? Oh, I mean, well, because it's funny. About. Okay, because it's funny. Yeah. Remember, Iron Man 3 was, like, the first movie to come out after Avengers.
Yeah.
And it made over $1 billion, and it looks like the Spider-Man movie's getting that same love, because, like, when they first did box office projections, like, 105, then it went up to 120, now somewhere like the 150s. Because
yeah.
It's like, not only because it's like, it's the first movie after Endgame, it's like the last Marvel movie as far as, like, how Marvel looks. Because it's like, after this one, you don't even know what's coming out next. You know they're working on stuff, but nothing's been announced.
Well, there've been a bunch of leaks on that, so, and it's pretty much the stuff we expected to be coming out.
Yeah, but you don't know when.
Yeah. Well, no, there was a schedule. They actually, I'll back off. It was a leaked schedule, not an official one. So
if I ask you a date of, okay, if I ask you after Spider-Man Far From Home, what's the next Marvel movie coming out and when it's coming out, could you tell me?
I think it's, if I remember this right, it's May of 2020. And I believe it's, oh, my God, I just lost it.
Exactly.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Thank you.
That's a very good question.
And when have we been able to say that about like Marvel movies? Like, we've known about the schedule for Marvel for like a decade, because it was like, this movie's coming out this time, it's starring this, this, and this. You know, we getting our 2 to 3 Marvel movies per year. We know exactly when they were coming out. And now it's like, we know people's working on this. We know stuff is going to be made. But it's like, okay, when's the next one? And when's it come out? It's like, oh, well, I heard from such and such. Yeah, we've heard. We've read. We've no official announcements. I guess, you know, eventually, you know, we'll get them. But like, that's why it's a unique time as far as Marvel, because it's fresh and it's like brand new. And everything we have heard is like Marvel's about to get real weird and like really get like, we're gonna really do this whole comic space thing because we can do that now. DC's doing their thing. We don't have to worry about Fox anymore. And it's like Sony. Doing what? I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's whatever. It's funny, like Spider-Man Far. You know, Spider-Man's a Marvel movie, but it's technically a Sony movie too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, and whatever goes on with like, you know, the mergers there. If they ever release New Mutants, because they said next year, whatever. I mean, it's kind of like at the point now. It's more about like, you know, the like the Marvel streaming shows like Disney Plus and stuff. And waiting to hear what comes out when it comes out. But yeah. I will say this, the wrap up with X-Men, I know it gets a lot of malign things, rightfully so. It's the first one to try this whole sequel universe thing. And it kind of paved the way for like the MCU, you know, and it showed that you could do comic movies and make a lot of money. Like it was like it showed it like in like the 2000s, because Blade did what it did, but Blade wasn't like a blockbuster movie. Blade was just a profitable movie. And these came out before Spider-Man did. So, and it's like, we wouldn't have the Marvel movies look the way they look without the X-Men movies. Not even counting the fact that Marvel couldn't even use the X-Men because they sold them. So I will say this, it, you know, it paved the way. It had a lot of high points. It had a lot of low points. It was, you know, it was the first comic movie get nominated for an Oscar, like non-technical, non-visual with Logan. So it made a boatload of money in a time when movies like not didn't make those type of money. Cause it's funny when people compare like the box office saying, oh, none of the X-Men made $1 billion. I'm like, comic movies didn't really start making $1 billion till like recently.
Yeah.
That was like a normal thing. Like these movies came out like 98, 2000, 2002, where $50 million the opening week was like a big ass deal.
What was the first one? Was it Avengers? No.
Did
Avengers make a billion?
Yeah, Avengers. Yeah. First comic movie make a billion?
Yeah.
No. Dark Knight came out before Avengers.
Wow, I didn't realize it made that much. So it came out.
Dark Knight made $1 billion. So, because and that came out the same year as Iron Man. So, Dark Knight Rises both made $1 billion. But then after that, it wasn't until the Avengers.
Yeah. So, interesting world. That's
like the closest X-Men, like Days of Future Past, I think made around the high sevens. And I remember that was being a big deal. Like most of the X-Men movies tend to make like around somewhere between, if they're good, like 5 to 6. Deadpool's his own thing, because the Deadpool movies are made in the 8s and they're R-rated movies, which is insane. Thinking about that.
Yeah.
And like, so, but beyond that, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm sure Marvel have his chance to do X-Men and they can talk about how they want to do it the right way. It's going to be a lot of arguments, like, you know, casting and what team, and do you start with an origin story, or do you start with them being established, and how do you handle Wolverine and a villain, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of shows about that in the coming years.
Yeah, and I hope that unfortunately for Marvel, and I mean, if they can try and salvage it, I did not see this movie. I reiterate this over and over again, but it sounds like they've got a steep hill to climb. I mean, not so much with X-Men, but I know everyone wants Fantastic Four now. Well,
guess what? You make a good one, people won't care.
Hopefully, yeah, and we'll see. Because I know there's the rumors again that are starting that was it John Krasinski? Is that how you say his last name? Mm-hmm. And Emily Blunt is Sue and Reed Richards.
Or, that works.
Yeah, I mean,
I will just say this: before Batman and Robin was the reason why we didn't get a Batman movie for like 8 years. But as soon as we saw Batman Begins, Batman was back.
Yeah.
Make a good one, and people don't care about the bad ones. Like, the problem with Fantastic Four is that there's never been any good ones. You had either mediocre ones, or you've either had mediocre at best ones or bad ones. You make a good one. Like, even think about Spider-Man. We had Spider-Man 3 and the two amazing Spider-Man movies. Back to back to back. And then you rebooted Spider-Man again, and people were tired of Spider-Man. It was like, this is the third new Spider-Man we had. Like, didn't we just have a Spider-Man? When's the last Spider-Man movie we liked? And then Spider-Man Homecoming came out, and fine. It was fine. You know, and now Spider-Man, between that, the Into the Spider-Verse movie, and the Spider-Man video game, was like, no one complained about Spider-Man anymore. So, you do good stuff, you wash that away. It just takes, you know, even if the first movie doesn't do as well, if the first movie's good, the second one always does better.
Yeah, but don't you think, like, with a Fantastic Four, that first one's got to be good? I mean,
it's Marvel. When's the last time when's the last time Marvel made a bad movie?
Yeah, that's true.
Even if it's like, you know, Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel level, that's still better than anything anyone else did with Fantastic Four. Like, that's all you gotta do. Good and competent.
Yeah,
that's it.
Because they embrace the history and the character, but then also, pretty much modernize, I guess, would be a good way of saying it. Since you mentioned streaming service, this is something we don't talk about nearly enough on the show. Now, we both subscribe to DC Universe. We talked about Titans a long time ago. That hasn't been back since, but they keep casting. So, I sometimes when I read that they're casting for something, I'm like, wait a minute, have you not started filming yet? But I know it's like a superfluous or fluid process. And then Doom Patrol finally finished. Did you complete that one yet?
Not yet. Okay. I still haven't. But I will.
I understand why.
Yeah. I mean, just because of time, but I will, like, hopefully this weekend.
Yeah. Where are you at? Like, do you remember what the last one you saw was?
No.
Okay. There's one where Mr. Nobody actually, during his narration, goes, "Oh my God, the show's not over yet." He goes, "No one wants to see this." You go, "Who is watching this?" And then I found myself doing that for some of the episodes. And then I'll tell you, the one with Negative Man, Larry, you can tell adults wrote that show. I mean, that episode. It was great. I mean, just great. I was watching it on the plane coming back from St. Martin, and I'm like, this is crazy good. So, and it ends in a nice way. Not a nice way, but it ends satisfactory. One episode of Swamp Thing in that I can't remember if I told you. So it's actually James Wan's the exec producer, and then was it Len Wiseman, the guy who made the Underworld movies? He directed the pilot. And they cut it down from 10 episodes from 13 and then canceled it.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows why. They keep going back and forth. One, it was accounting error, and or it was North Carolina's tax code was interpreted wrong, or this or this. And now it seems the entire platform might be going away. Because I didn't know this, but AT&T acquired Warner Brothers. Did you know about this?
I heard it was in the works.
Well, they did. And AT&T, who also owns HBO, they want to create their own streaming service to rival Disney's. This is all the rumors. And, well, this part's true. They want to create their own streaming service to rival Disney's. So,
know what's funny? You bring up streaming service.
Yeah.
You know what dropped today? And I forgot all about it. Speaking of forgetting stuff, Jessica Jones last season.
Oh.
I mean, I'm going to watch it, but because I was reading about it because you were talking about streaming services. I was like, seen the shows. Like, Jessica Jones, because I've seen the commercials for her. Like, yeah, it came out today because I haven't heard anybody talk about it.
Well, there's a reason. One, season two wasn't good. And then and then with everything getting canceled.
Yeah, everyone knows it's the last season. It's kind of like, unless you complete it, what's the point? I mean, I'll watch it, but no,
yeah,
go ahead.
I'll still watch it. So, but no, so apparently AT&T wants to, you know, do that. That includes, supposedly, this is the rumor, $12.99 a month. You get HBO, all the affiliates, like Cinemax, their streaming service. They're putting them all in one thing.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And then
that
part. Apparently they may roll DC Universe into it.
You remember when people were like, oh, cable sucks. Wouldn't it be fun if you could just pay for the stuff you want to watch and only that? And take away the power from the cable companies. Remember how everybody used to talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
And look at it now. Did they really think people were just going to like, oh, okay, you're not going to get cable. I guess we're going to go out of business like they Radio Shack? Like, how many streaming services do you have?
Well, was Spotify count? I mean, it's a music
just as far as, like, movies.
Well, I get Hulu free. I got Netflix, DC Universe. I actually can't WWE. I canceled New Japan at the wrong time. I think that's it.
Okay, so I have I have Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I have Netflix. I have Hulu. I have WWE. I have DC Universe. I have CBS All Access. I have Crunchyroll. I canceled Shudder. And then we're talking about having a Disney. Oh, and ESPN Plus. And now we're talking about having a Disney Plus and AT&T. And then, you know, Sony going to, like, everybody wants to have one. And then you're just going to have a thing where instead of having cable, you're going to have 11 streaming services. You end up paying the same amount of money you were paying with cable. And you got to figure out what the law going to watch this and what the law, like, and it's just so fragmented. And yeah, like, that's, I don't blame them because, like, we got to make money somehow. It's like people move away from cable and stuff like that. But it's like, now it's like, having a lot of options is good in theory because you don't like monopolies. Monopolies control everything. But in practice, it's just like with time being a premium, you don't have time. Like, we just talked about it. I haven't finished. There's no TV shows on, like, I'm even currently watching that's, like, running right now. But I'm still beside Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm still catching up on I haven't caught up on Doom Patrol. Still need to watch Swamp Thing. And now Jessica Jones has dropped. And there's all these other shows I want to watch and all this other stuff going on. Now you got to log in and list and log in and that. And it's just like, yeah, like, that's where we going. And it's just a weird thing because, you know, movie stars do TV. So it's not even a big thing. Like, the whole divide between movie, TV, whatever, like, that's gone. Like, it's just you work where you work. Like, Julia Roberts want to do an Amazon Prime show.
Mm-hmm.
She'll do it. Meryl Streep want to do an HBO show. Like, The Rock does an HBO show. And he's been doing it for, like, 5 years. Like, it's so, unless you're, like, old school, like, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, Denzel Washington, that line is just gone. You just work. And it's like either you pay whatever you pay in a movie theater or you pay to watch it on Netflix or you pay to watch it on TV. But beyond that, it's like you got to find out where you're going to get your entertainment from and having time to get it. Yeah. It's just like – it's just hard.
And I'd almost say that line is diminishing even with those names because Meryl Streep is actually going to be in...
Yeah, Big Little Lies.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, regardless of how I feel about her, that's still, you know, that's like the holy grail of female actors still. And yeah, she's like doing an HBO show, so...
George Clooney is, like, produced, like, as, What was that? Is that a show or a movie that was on Amazon Prime? Catch 22.
I don't know. I've heard of it, but no, I don't
Yeah,
know.
Like, yeah, like, that's George Clooney. It's kind of like... That line's not there anymore, regardless of what Steven Spielberg whines about that whole thing. It's like, you get in where you fit in, and you try to make the content you make, and it's more great shows than it's ever been, but the problem is there's more great shows than it's ever been. There's so many stuff going on. Like, Cinemax has all these shows that I would love to watch. I have never found the time to watch them.
Nope.
Like, I've never seen an episode of Banshee, and it seemed like a show I would like. I would love to watch Strike Back, but it's kind of like, it's like four seasons, like four or five seasons in, where I even start. And now they got this other show, Carla Gugino playing a thief, that starts this Friday.
I might watch that because I love her. So
I do too, so I might set my DVR for that. They had that Kung Fu show like during San Francisco Warrior, like produced by Justin Lin, and I wanted to watch that, and I forgot to set the DVR, and a whole season just finished.
Jesus.
Like,
I haven't even heard of that one.
Like, I heard, like, you know, yeah, I remember they were talking about, like, oh, I want to watch it and everything like that, and I forgot, and the next thing I know, it's like episode 7. So, yeah, like, right now, I'm watching Billions. I'm like half beginning through season 3, and I love that show. Like, that's currently my favorite show that I'm watching right now, because Killing Eve is done, because it's finished season 2. But, yeah, it's just so much... It's funny, it sounds like we complain about is boo-hoo-hoo. It's so many damn good things to watch. What will we do?
Yes, and it is complaining. I mean, honestly, there's no way around it. We are complaining that there's so much to watch. And like, even like when it comes to movies, that I actually bought both of the Wolf Warrior ones, and I haven't gotten a chance to watch it. I'm hoping to do that later.
Oh, good Lord. So I can't. Just watch the second one.
Okay. Do I have to see the first one to see the second one?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, cool.
Right.
See, the problem is the subtitles. But then for the clips you showed me, I don't want to watch that on my tablet or my phone.
Here's the thing about Wolf Warrior 2. Sometimes it's subtitles, and sometimes they speak in English.
Okay. That's fine.
And I won't spoil it, but I will just say that's a movie like if China went back in the 80s and saw Rambo, like, let's do this, but make it Chinese.
Okay.
Like, it's like, right. That's basically what it is, with, like, ridiculous special effects. And it's fun, like, the budget was $30 million. I don't know if it seemed like it should be more or less. And that movie made, like, almost $900 million just in China. That's insane.
Wait.
Yeah. Yes.
Jesus.
Yes, that's the biggest grossing movie they've ever done. And that's the second biggest movie that's like gross, like as far as like money made in a single country, the only movie bigger is like Force Awakens in America. That's it. Like, that's why I wanted to see. I'm like, wait a second, this movie made how much? Like, I never even heard of it.
Yeah. So, who is this filmmaker that now owns the studio? I'm just curious.
Oh, it's funny because his name is Wu Jing. Like, he worked like Jackie Chan and like Donnie Yen, did some stuff. He did this, and then he took some money because like this sci-fi movie, The Wandering Earth, that's on Netflix, was like this big movie. Like, he put $7 million his own movie into that so he could star in it, and then that movie made a boatload of movie too. So it's like, this is a smart man. Like, China right now is like, you know what? Instead of doing America, like taking America's movies, let's do these movies the way America used to and just make them Chinese. Like, the story with Warrior 2 is this guy, he's in like a special forces unit. He leaves, like, he gets dishonorably discharged. So he's like a freedom fighter in Africa, some unnamed African country. He's drinking sake bombs. He's hanging around with this little fat kid with a Kobe Bryant jersey on. And they're fighting like some mercenaries that's trying to take like this doctor over this plague. And Frank Grillo is playing the main villain. His name is Big Daddy, just chewing scenery. And I want to say, and it's the only thing I'll say, you know what type of movie it is, because you like 80s type of movies.
Yeah.
You know you're a villain when you stand in front of a hospital and you busy plotting anything like that, and then you just throw a whole bunch of grenades in the hospital and blow up a hospital with a bunch of sick kids and doctors in it and walk away in slow motion.
Yeah, all this makes me want to do is end the show and start watching it then. So
That sounds awesome.
Fuck those kids.
On the movies you like, this is right in your wheelhouse. Like, this is your type of movie because it's goofy as hell. It's super serious at times. And this whole China, Africa with friends, we got to look out for each other because America's not here. And I'm watching this just laughing my ass off because this is big thing, like China going like African nations and like trying to like basically like steal all the stuff. Like, this is a big thing going on right now, like in real life. So knowing that, knowing like the history that's going on and like current events, and then seeing this movie like, oh, actually we're the good guys, like we're friends. They're like, oh, you know, you would never know because it's so sad in here, but as soon as they start hearing music and start smiling and having fun, all the pain goes away. You just go next day and you see an, like, I don't know if it's Somalia, Nigeria, but they dance with these Chinese workers and they like date each other, married to each other, so they like best friends looking out. And I'm like, if this is an American movie, I'd be rolling my eyes. But for some reason, I can't take it seriously, so I can't get mad. So I just laugh at how ridiculous it is. But no, the movie is fun. I would just say that.
Yeah. Well, so does he catch a rocket in a fishing net?
No, he catches it in like a fence to redirect.
Okay. I saw that screenshot and I went, that's honestly, I think that's what did it.
Yes. No, somebody shoots a rocket launcher and he sees it coming, so he grabs a piece of a fence to catch the rocket in the fence and then throws it on the ground so it explodes. Oh, yeah, it's that type of movie. And then the next scene, somebody puts off, you know, those 50 caliber guns. You know how you saw Rambo, people getting their arms blown off? Yeah. That's what happens. Like, people getting their arms and necks blown off. Like, it's no big thing. Oh, okay, I guess it's a violent, violent movie. Like, you see a tank fight.
Wow.
It's take on take. Wow, like, they're ramming each other. They're trying to spin around. Like, this is... I'm, like, watching this movie. Like, this movie is insane in a good way. And I'm like, I can't... When Wolf Warrior 3 comes out, I hope it comes out in America, because I'll go see it.
Well, it's gonna be, I'm sure it'll be one of those... whatever. Small things, I guess. If you want to put it that way.
The Raid 2 came out for, like, 2 weeks. And
yeah, that's true.
And Indian action movies come out here because, you know, people see them and they make money. So I'm sure, like, this type of movie where, like, if you heard anything about movies, you've heard about Wolf Warrior. Like, I just knew about it because I heard about it. I heard how much money it made. And it was, like, on Blu-ray for, like, $5. So I'm like, why not?
Oh, well, yeah. I just went and did the digital download part for these. So, all right. Nice aside. But, yeah. Oh, so, yeah, so there's a DC streaming service as well. Whatever. Yeah. But anyways, what else were we going to talk about? I can't remember. They announced the reported villains for the Batman.
Well, except for Joker. Basically, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's like Riddler, Penguin, Catwoman, which kind of surprised me, and then Firefly, which...
Two-Face.
Oh, was Two-Face one of them as well? Oh. Because the Black Mask is taken with Birds of Prey. And the reason I thought Catwoman was a surprise, because I figured that she might show up in a cameo in Birds of Prey. I mean, it's all women in the movie, all women heroes, so...
I mean, you know. but the thing is, you're still looking at it from a Marvel perspective. They could just be two different Catwoman, two different movies.
That's true.
I mean, we might have three different Jokers. Because we got Jared Leto, unless he's not doing anymore. Joaquin Phoenix is doing this Joker movie that's not related to anything else going on. And then it's like, you know, you got a new Batman series going on. So, yeah, it's like, I think DC decided where it's like, stuff happens in the movie, but they ain't necessarily linked. Like, you hear about stuff, but... You don't have to watch the movies to follow these movies. Because right now we're just focusing on making good movies and we'll worry about the other stuff later. which is probably smart because you think about, you got a Joker movie that's completely separate from everything else. Suicide Squad 2. Black Adam finally look like they're going to start being made soon. And then Wonder Woman 1984 and Birds of Prey. None of them totally have anything to do with each other at all. None of them.
Hmm. Like, think about it. Yeah, well, so I thought Birds of Prey and was going to take place in the regular universe, if you want.
Yeah, it is.
But it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. I got you now. Okay.
As far as like, it's the movie that's so disparate, it's like, how would you even link them? You know, like, you got, because we've seen like Shazam and Aquaman, which could be in the same universe. Wonder Woman 1984, I mean, Wonder Woman can go up or down. It's almost like the fulcrum point. Mm-hmm. But then Suicide Squad 2, that's going to be R-rated. Birds of Prey, that's going to be R-rated. Joker, that's a psychological thriller. The Batman, which is going to be like a quote-unquote detective story, is, yeah, it's just, if the movies are good, I don't care how they link. It's just weird. And I think it's because of the fact we're so used to Marvel, and we're used to when DC tried the first time, they didn't work, we still have our heads wrapped around how you do movie universes. And they're like, we just do movies.
Yeah, and yeah, I know what you're talking about. I get it, but it's like at the same time, god damn. They messed it up so bad, which is the reason that it's gotten to this point. Like, if you wouldn't have messed it up in the first place, like, what was the thing? The funniest thing they said was, well, we're going to focus on making good movies instead of this. And we're like, you weren't doing that to begin with? Like,
nope. I mean, we would laugh at that, but we just saw what happened with Dark Phoenix. Apparently, people aren't in the... Yeah, ha ha ha, sucker me. Apparently, making a good movie ain't a priority for most people. It's like, we just want to make money. And we always wonder, like, how's it... I think it's... It just shows that making movies is hard. And I just think about how lucky we are to when we have people who care about making good movies. Like, as quick as I, John Wick. You know why those movies work? Because they have professionals who care.
Yeah.
That's it. They have professional, like, they have people way over talented for the people doing what they're doing. Like, when they have people like, oh, we get the cinematographer that worked on The Shape of Water that got nominated for an Oscar. For a John Wick movie. Huh? Or it's like, you know, we train with dogs for 5 months so we can make a book believable. We found the best horse trainers and found, like, how we do this thing with a horse while not bringing any harm to the horse and make it look realistic. Yeah. Keanu Reeves trained 6 months of his year to make it look, you know, so we make sure he counting the bullets correctly, looks good. Most people don't give a rat's ass about that level of competency, professionalism when doing movies at all. You hear stuff about Bryan Singer, oh, what happened to the director? Oh, I don't know, he left.
That's what I failed to follow up on that. What was going on with that? Like, why was he disappearing? Was this during, like, his trial and stuff?
Trust me, they don't want to ask those questions because they're going to get the wrong answers. What do you think? He just settled in lawsuit for, like, $150,000 for raping somebody. So what do you think?
It's not like he got off easy. $150,000?
Yeah, exactly. Christ. Oh, Bryan Singer was directing movies and then he just vanished and no one hears from him. What happened? Well, what do you hear about Bryan Singer? Wow. If it ain't drugs, like, you don't just... It's not like if you just left work every day, like a regular job, people would ask questions. You're a director making these multi-$100 million movies and you just vanish? Like, yeah,
But yet they kept bringing him back.
Because it's good to have friends. Ugh. How many times Vince Russo been back?
Oof. No.
What's the difference?
Yeah, no, I was like...
Like... We see it enough. Like, I don't even talk about real life. Some of the best advantages of getting a job is knowing the right person. That's it. Like, skill, talent. Like, we don't. It's this conceit that we find the best people. No, we don't. We get lucky if we do. Like, we lucked out when we found like Tom Cruise got recognized, or Denzel got recognized, or like The Rock. Like, The Rock worked. I know people like, oh, like. People brush off the fact that he's like a big time superstar. Can you imagine how much stuff he had to do, how hard he had to work to get there? And consider like how his career started and then how it plateaued and then see him now. Like, yeah. It's hard. Like, even make a joke. You know why I make fun of Sam Worthington's and Jai Courtney and stuff like that? because I see Chris Hemsworth, and I saw Mel Gibson, like, or Russell Crowe, like, some guy out of nowhere from Australia of all places become like a movie star. Like, so you like, you know, it's hard. It's not just about looking pretty or have, like, Scott Eastwood's handsome. He has the right dad. Look at him. You like anything he's been, like, have you seen in his movies, like, oh, yeah, he was awesome. Even, like, in the last Fast and Furious movies, he was okay, but it was never a movie like, oh, he blew my socks off.
Yeah.
All these fans of the world, and it's kind of like, we see these with all these movies and streaming services like DC. You, and that's why I laugh, because I saw this story again about the whole Snyder Cut and where is that, and these fans want to get it. I'm like, all these people are giving this time to this man and caping for this man that had the unmitigated talent to ruin both Superman and Batman. You know how hard you got to work to do that? He did the both of them.
Yeah, all right. Batman for sure. Superman, though, if you look at the history of it, you've got everyone liked the first one.
No, they didn't.
The first Superman movie?
Which, are you talking about?
I'm going back through history here. Uh-huh. So you had the first two, and the second, no one liked the third and fourth one. Mm-hmm. Then they came out with, was it Superman Returns? That didn't do well. So it's like, there's always this thing with Superman where it's like, oh my God, he's so popular. Well, the money says otherwise.
I mean, but there's a thing. Superman Returns made a decent amount of money, just costs what it costs. It's not just as far as like, just like quality of movie, which is a thing. It's, I made jokes about the reason why people didn't like Man of Steel, because they made Superman realistic. Nobody want to see Superman like that.
Like, yeah, that's totally against the character. Yeah,
and that's the thing. When I say that's like, okay, you turn Superman into like this, you know, indifferent mass murderer with MAGA parents. Why do you think people want to pay their money to see Superman look like that? Like, you could do that with some characters. That's not what, like, no.
Yeah.
That, like, if you turn, like, I'm trying to think. Let's have Iron Man and turn him to a serial killer. Like, it's going to be gritty. Like, he got PTSD because of the weapons he used. So he's going to just use those weapons to kill weapons designers one day at a time. And we're going to make it R-rated, have Quentin Tarantino direct it. Yeah, that sounds cool, but nobody wants it. That's not Iron Man. And that's, think about, people didn't know who Iron Man was that much in comics, besides people read comics. People have a general idea of what they expect from Superman. And turning him into, like, Leonidas with a cape ain't one of them. And then you do that, and then you do like, they tried to do what Marvel did without taking the necessary steps, and they picked the wrong person.
Yeah.
And Marvel lucked out because Kevin Feige won control. Because keep in mind, Marvel had plenty of problems themselves when it was Feige and Perlmutter going back and forth. Oh, yeah, you can't have a woman be the villain Iron Man 3 because women have cooties. So change the story.
That's still one of the more remarkable ones to me. But
it's plenty of stories and stuff like that. Because you remember we talked about on the show, like, Chris Evans and, like, oh, I'm just waiting for my contract to leave. These, I don't know, I'm not having fun. And then as soon as Feige took control, people start changing their tunes, and all of a sudden, I like coming to work again. Or, like, we're going to get rid of Robert Downey Jr. because he wants too much money for Civil War. Remember that story?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then all of a sudden, Perlmutter got locked in the closet. Kevin Feige took full control, and look at us now. What if it went the other way? You think we're getting Black Panther or Captain? You really think we're going to have a Black Panther movie? Oh,
there would be
movie?
No Black Panther.
Hell no. They'd have had him in a ghetto slinging drugs if we had one.
Oh, a little more realistic, so, you know.
No, you're thinking about Falcon.
or Brother Voodoo. No, yeah. Wait, is he Marvel? Yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't even know if he might be. I don't remember.
Okay. Anyway.
But it's kind of like, yeah, you, things could easily go. Marvel lucked out where things went a certain way. Like, they lucked out plenty of times. Like, Iron Man 1 could have easily been a disaster, and we don't have no Marvel Universe. Or, what was somebody said, what would have been the biggest change, movie universes? Because I was thinking about that one to ask you. If Tom Cruise was Iron Man, is your first option. Or, if Timothy Olyphant was Dominic Toretto in Fast and Furious.
Oh, I'm going to say Oliphant, because that totally changes the dynamic. I mean, they're pretty much... was he Italian or Latino? Toretto?
Exactly. You know, that's the whole thing. One of the things about Fast and Furious stands out is that it's this ethnic diverse movie. And it's like, you just, and they don't beat you over the head with it. And you never saw that. And like Vin Diesel back then, I know we talked about, because me and Jeff been doing these shows. Like Vin Diesel back then was like the super sexiest man on the planet type thing. He was thin, had all this swag and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, Timothy Olyphant, that movie changes the movie. And then it's just two white guys. A white guy chasing another white guy. And it's like, it's Point Break. It's really just Point Break with cars. So yeah.
The only thing that would be different with Tom Cruise, he'd have more power, obviously. But we may actually have a functioning Iron Man suit if he was that, because it's Tom Cruise.
But you think, you know, Iron Man works with Tom Cruise instead of Robert Downey Jr.? I don't.
Probably not. Because one, well,
I mean, not that Tom Cruise is a great actor. The energy is just different.
Yes.
It's just, and that's the thing. Like, it's funny thinking about it now, because it's like Robert Downey is perfect for that role. That was a lot of controversy, and like a lot of people was not sure about the guy with the drug problems. Like, Ally McBeal, him? Like, really? Like, Terrence Howard was a way bigger star than Robert Downey Jr. when Iron Man came out. And people tend to forget that too. It's like, yeah, so it's funny in movie history how important like a little decision makes. Like, you know, you change something here and there and something completely different. And now you had those big movie franchises, like, you know, Fast and Furious. It's like now you got Hobbs and Shaw coming out and Fast and Furious 9. Oh, and the reason I brought up The Rock and directors with Black Adam. So, yeah, they finally have a director for Black Adam.
I did not see this at all.
Yeah. His name, James Colet-Serra. He did the movies with Liam Neeson, Nonstop, and I think The Commuter. He also did The Shallows, that shark movie, and he's doing Jungle Cruise with The Rock. So, you know how The Rock is. He finds somebody he like, then he'll have him do something else. So apparently he liked him doing, because The Rock was supposed to be the villain in Suicide Squad 2.
Yes.
And instead he did Jungle Cruise. So I guess he liked the director for there, so he wants him to do Black Adam. Hmm. I mean, it's...
It's a definite wait and see on that one.
I'll give DC the benefit of doubt in this case, because they've done enough stuff lately where it's like, think about like the last couple movies been fun. You know, Aquaman was goofy fun. Shazam was fun. And like the stuff we've seen, like the Joker looks like it's going to be good. Although I have no idea how it's going to be. I think DC right now is kind of like, you know, benefit of doubt. Like, I trust them a little bit, because they've been doing, it seems like they've learned what to do and what not to do. And The Rock's biggest problem has only been like, not, he knows how to pick people. It's just like timing. Like Skyscraper, you know, was, it made money. It just came out too soon after Rampage came out.
Yes.
That was his only problem. Like, and that was right after Jumanji came out. Like, sometimes The Rock just need to, it's funny you talk about Marvel movies need to space out. And they do three a year. People complain about comic movies. The Rock does like three movies a year now.
Yeah.
Because has he had anything out this year yet? No. But he has Hobbs and Shaw in August. And then he has Jumanji in December.
It's funny though. You know, has he had any movies this year? I was like, yeah, Hobbs and Shaw. It came out in May. Oh, wait a second. No, it hasn't.
You would think it comes out next and you see commercials for it.
Well, I was getting ready to go see it today, actually, but it's not August yet, so.
Yeah, it's, well, I will say this. Oh. You don't have to complain about them. If anyone say about having hype for the movie, no, they have marketed this movie.
Yeah. Well, speaking of new movies, I didn't bring this up. Have you seen the preview for Doctor Sleep? Or is it Doctor Sleep?
It's no,
sequel to The Shining.
I have heard of it. I did not see it, and I did not know that.
Yeah. You get hints the whole way until the end. And Ewan McGregor is the boy. Was it Tommy? Timmy? God, I just saw part of it yesterday. I should know this. But it's the boy grown up, and he's still haunted by stuff. And now there's the little girl. I'm going, I don't know, man. It didn't really capture me like the It Part 2 trailer did. Like that horrific one with the old lady, which they showed that before. What was the last movie we saw? They showed that preview before Godzilla. But they cut out all like the, you know, old woman, naked old woman, like all the really creepy stuff, they cut out of it. So, but Elise was still all over that one. But I didn't know they were doing this movie. And someone goes, yeah, this is the sequel to The Shining. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. What? And sure enough, yeah. So, I don't know.
I mean, we do sequels to everything now. So, and it's always been that way, sequels and remakes. People think that's just a new thing. It's like, no. I mean, it's like, what's the last, like, you know, you every now and then, Die Hard, you get something like Die Hard or something that seemed original, but it's, when you're a certain age, you just remember like the stuff you see. You don't think about the stuff that happened before that. And so I'm like, I never even saw the original Shining. I never read the book. Of course, I know about it because it's like it's The Shining. But
yeah,
you know, it's.
We were watching it's like documentary about horror movies last night, and someone said that it was Stephen King who's been complaining about The Shining forever. That basically Stanley Kubrick made an art movie out of his book. And I actually didn't disagree with him. So, that's what you're in for, but it's still got some... I mean, well, it's just like anything else. What used to be terrifying, now is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, some stuff like... Because I saw that original Amityville Horror, and I'm like, yeah, there's still some stuff I can see why it's scary and anything like that. You got to be in a certain mindset, because like, if you saw that, and then saw, like, Saw, like, they're two completely different movies. But then it's like... Star Wars holds up for nostalgia now. Imagine if you were 6 years old and you saw the original Star Wars.
Yeah, I know.
You buy this what y'all are going on the internet for, Daddy? Will basically be your response. Like, this? Yeah, so it's kind of like, because I got into it with a friend. Because I told him I liked the remake Karate Kid with Jaden Smith more than the original. And he looked at me like I pissed on the Pope. And they like, why do you sound like... Because I didn't watch The Karate Kid when I was young, so I don't have nostalgia clouding me. I watched it as an adult, so I look at it differently. And this is somebody who actually enjoys Cobra Kai, even though I didn't really like The Karate Kid movies, because it's like, it's just different. They just do these better than they did the movies. But I'm like, if you're a certain age, yeah, you're going to like Karate Kid. You watch it now, like, this shit is not realistic. Daniel LaRusso shouldn't be... No, this is stupid. But it's like, it's fine. It was the 80s. If you watch the, you know, people don't like the Karate Kid, the remakes is like, they didn't like Jaden Smith. I'm like, that movie's way more believable. Jackie Chan it's funny. People make fun of Pat Morita being nominated for an Oscar. Jackie Chan should have been nominated for Oscar for Karate Kid for that shit he was doing. Because I'm like, I didn't know he had it in him. And if people like Jaden Smith more, they would have liked, because like, people of younger generation like that movie. People our age is like, it's not even karate, it's kung fu, and they ruined my childhood and all that crap. And it's like, nostalgia does that. And there are a few movies that hold up regards to nostalgia, like 80s action movies, Die Hard and Predator, and RoboCop is almost like 1990, and that's it.
Well,
and maybe the Lethal Weapon movies, but it's like you have to be a certain level where, like, I would say Die Hard is like the first modern action movie where it's timeless. It could come out tomorrow, and the only thing you would change is cell phones. That's it.
Yeah,
that is it. Like, you know, and it's like you don't get stuff like that. Like The Godfather, one of the greatest movies of all time. You know how long and drawn out that movie is? Could you imagine being in a movie theater and watching that?
You know what? I've never... length of movies never bothered me as long as the movie's good. Like, Avengers was just 3 hours, almost 3 hours long. It didn't even feel like it. I mean, so... length of stuff's never bothered me. I went and saw The Hateful Eight in the theater.
Oh, you better one than me.
They had an intermission. I'm like, okay, it was built into the movie. He wanted to do it that way, but it didn't need it. And I mean, it wasn't my favorite movie, but you know, whatever.
So I saw King Kong in a movie theater, and I felt every minute of that movie. And it wasn't a bad movie.
Peter Jackson was?
Yeah, and it wasn't a bad movie. It was just long. Like
there was so much unnecessary stuff in that movie. But yeah, that was so long ago. God, I forgot I even saw that.
But no, it's kind of like, yeah, when I've always been that way and come to remakes and stuff like that, I'm like, it's for a new generation. Let them have it. Like, if you don't want to see it, don't see it. I mean, you don't have, like, you can, and I don't get in that whole, don't, like, it's, like, you know, with the Disney remakes and stuff like that, just skip them. Like, definitely. You don't want to see the Lion, you don't want to see the Lion King again? You ain't got to watch. It's not, you can just watch the original one all day long and be just fine, and no one would judge you differently. This whole, they don't need to make, like, it ain't for you, you selfish asshole. Because if people had that mindset for you, maybe you wouldn't have got some of the stuff you got. They don't think about that. Like, you know, like, I bet a lot of people was mad at Star Trek The Next Generation when it first came out. Like, they got some bald British guy pretending to be French. He don't even got hair. He ain't my Captain Kirk. And I heard people complain about that when I was younger. Not on the internet, but people, like, talking. Because they ain't had the internet back then.
I was pretty excited for it, and I watched it, and it was boring as hell. So watched it again.
Yeah, guess what? The first season and a half was rough. It got better, but it's like, yeah, it was rough. And I remember watching some of the, it's funny, I remember watching some of them because they come like BBC America, something like that. And I watched some of the old ones, and I'm like, they let this on TV.
It was syndicated. Yeah. So that's like, why.
I'm like, this was rough. They went to the Zulu planet one time. What that? Everybody was like,
I'm sorry, what?
You heard what I said? They went to this planet trying to get this medicine, and everybody was like, from stereotypical African tribe, was like, the women can't do this, and you know, like a old stereotypical African tribal yada 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 stuff. And we tried, they was looking at, like, you know, civilized, and and I'm watching this like, y'all don't have enough black friends, do y'all? Somebody could have told y'all this is not the move. And it wasn't like it was, this is the 80s. This would have looked bad. And like, it wasn't like,
no, that was the 90s, I believe. Wasn't it?
Well, it started late 80s, went through the 90s. All right. Yeah. So this was like in the beginning, it's like late 80s. So like, yeah. You ain't have enough black friends. You should have asked LeVar Burton, like, this ain't the move.
Jordy just takes his visor off. Nope. I'll see you next episode.
Him and Michael Dorn, like, you know what? It's time to go to snacks. Like, I watched some stuff. It was like, this is just raggedy. And it got better with age. But it's funny like that because, you know, you watch a lot of, like, Superman. Like, because I remember you brought up Superman. Like, yeah, people, y'all just watch these movies and just like, I mean, if it was probably cutting edge back then, so bless your heart. But it's like some of the stuff was like, I'm just watching like, yeah, this is what y'all like. This is what so when people complain now about the stuff we get now, I'm like, y'all have no idea what we used to have to watch. Like, y'all don't know. And like, real, like, I'm like, Batman was the peak of technology, and he couldn't even turn his damn neck.
Oh, hell. Going back to the TV show blew people's minds. And I know we're supposed to like that show because of the nostalgia part, and oh, look how, like, no, I have a hard time watching those old Batmans from the 60s.
Laugh, because, like, this is just, oh. I laugh because I'm like, this was popular.
Yes.
How much weed were they smoking back then? Because I'm watching this, I'm like, this was a hit.
Yeah, and it set back, like, the Batman comics for a long time, too, because they wanted it to be more like this TV show. I'm like, oh, my God.
Like, now it's funny they can laugh at nostalgia way, but it's like, back then, it's like, no, the Batuzzi, Bat Shark Repellent Spray, Batman on a surfboard. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Even better, you know how I've been telling you about the Challenge of the Superheroes? Mm-hmm. That is on the DC Universe app. You have to watch it now. It's, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I got through about 5 minutes and I shut it off.
But I have to watch it.
I'm gonna watch it again. I shut it off. But it's so weird. Like Solomon Grundy's one of them. It starts with the villains doing roll call, and they're supposed to be comedy, so there's a laugh track over it. I forgot all about this. So it's the Riddler doing roll call, Solomon Grundy, Sinestro. Oh my God, who's the guy in the middle? I can't remember who the other two are offhand. But it's just like, wait a minute. Solomon Grundy's pretty obscure. Sinestro, like, no one really knew who the hell Green Lantern was. But there's no Joker on it. And I don't think Lex Luthor's there. There's people missing, which is kind of weird. Superman's not in it.
The B grades. Yeah, I guess they can't fit in the budget. Yeah,
so they got Shazam, Captain Marvel, Shazam. He's in there. There's a Green Lantern. It's not the one with Martian Manhunter. There is one of those too. But just like to go to what you were saying about, you know, this is what we used to have to watch. Watch that. And the one thing I really want them to do was that when they were going to have a Justice League International show. Do you remember this from like the late 90s? It was going to be, I think, CBS. There's a pilot out there. And it's Martian Manhunter, Blue Beetle, Fire and Ice, like all them.
Yeah.
And
you know,
that's what I want to see.
You know what the problem is? It's with super technology had to catch up to be able to do the stuff we can do now.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the biggest change. Like most movies is kind of like, you know, drama doesn't matter. Even action movies, a little bit. Like back in the day, they just used to have to just, we have to crash a helicopter. We couldn't use a computer. So that's why it looked better.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
But superheroes, like, you couldn't do imagine trying to do Avengers like 1988. You really want to have an Iron Man model? Because well, that's how they used to have, like, the model.
Hulk.
Yeah, everything a slow motion, like, no, you can't do, you could do, like, Batman, like, stuff that didn't involve special, like, you could do Batman to a certain extent, you couldn't do the X-Men, you couldn't do, like, the Avengers, or, like, Aquaman, we saw Aquaman, it ain't no way in the world you could do that, like, 1994.
Oh, he'd be on land the whole time,
mm-hmm.
You gotta find a water source.
Mm-hmm. Or on a boat.
Yes.
You know, unless Steven Spielberg busts out his Jurassic Park money to do it, that'd been the only, or like James Cameron did it. It ain't no way in the world you ain't getting Aquaman until you got it now. Because it's amazing how good Aquaman looks now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, and that's because you had somebody that's almost a borderline genius that cared enough to do it. But yeah, that's what we used to have. Like, we always talk about, you know, Nick, like David Hasselhoff, or Captain America with the Italian Red Skull and stuff like
that. That's still the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Y'all really, like, I'm sorry. Like, if movies are bad, they bad. But there's a scale. Like, there's a different levels of bad. And the bad we used to have was way worse. Like, people want to talk about Captain Marvel just being above average. I'm like, have you seen Elektra?
Yeah, because I automatically go deep dive, like, the original Fantastic Four, the Roger mm-hmm. Corman one. Have you ever seen that?
I have. I don't be hunting out these bad movies I hear about. I'm like, no, I'm not you.
Well, remember, I used to work in a comic store, dude, so that's how I know all this stuff. But like, yeah, it's, you don't see, they don't do any of their powers until, I think, an hour into the movie. And it's only an hour and 20 minutes. It's brutal.
And that's a funny thing. We don't have to go back that far. You can go back to the 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, oh, yeah, we got the Dark Knight. We also had Daredevil. And that was like average. Like Ghost Rider was like, we either got average or bad. Like Elektra was just horrible. Like, it was just, it was just boring.
I've never seen the entire Elektra. So
I went to the movie theater to see that garbage.
Jeez.
I have no idea why. I have no idea what I was thinking. Yeah, I went to the movie theater to see that.
Rough.
I must have really liked Jennifer Garner back then. I don't know what it was. I spent movie money to see that and Catwoman. And Catwoman, I had an excuse. That was just lust. Because I saw Holly Berry in that costume, and that's the last time I let hormones dictate my movie decision, because I learned my lesson from there. And apparently I wasn't the only one. I talked to other people. They're like, yeah, that's the reason why.
Yes.
And that's the last – and I know, like, why you see Catwoman? Like, because Holly Berry. And I felt guilty. I felt bad, though. I'm like, you know what? This is evil. I shouldn't – men's lust is just evil, because look what it led me to, watching this abhorrent movie. And I have never done that again. So I don't care how good you look, honey. If the movie ain't good, I'm waiting till Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that all the way through either.
Oh, my God.
I've tried.
That is they playing basketball. I'm like, this is written by someone who never seen basketball at all. Like, just some of the stuff going on. And I'm like, yeah, like, I'm just, that's what we used to get. Like, we don't, I mean, we still get bad. Like, I'll say that Suicide Squad had bad parts. But it wasn't like bad. It had bad parts. It wasn't bad like a level like 90s bad.
Yeah.
Or like the 2000s bad. Like it's levels to how bad movies can be. Like I seen Batman and Robin, and I have never seen a superhero movie as bad as Batman and Robin since then. And I've seen some bad movies. And I don't care what people say about it's camp. Like no, it's,
garbage.
He pulled out a goddamn credit card. Why would Batman have an American Express? Okay, not Bruce Wayne, Batman.
Yeah.
Batman showing up to what, Dick's Sporting Goods?
Yeah, what's that billing address?
Yeah. He getting some barbells for the Batcave?
Well, Dick's used to sell guns. So, okay. It was Batman. Never mind, he never used guns. Never mind, I don't work either.
Where are you shipping it to? A P.O. address, of course. I'm Batman. You ain't gonna find my secret lit light? He had ice skates and... No,
yeah.
I saw that in a movie theater too.
So did we. I saw every one of those in the movie theater. Yeah,
like people like, oh, the Dark Knight ride don't make sense. Man, I saw Batman Forever. Don't come to me about what don't make sense with Batman movies. Like, no, don't do that. Maybe it's not that I've always been the point where I take a movie for what it is, and if I have fun, then the movie works. But if you just, even like bad movies, like because the Predator is bad. We can wrap up talking about that because the Predator is bad. But I like watching it, knowing that it's bad because it's just, I'm amazed that this movie is made this way. And I'm just amazed because people aren't allowed to like make these type of movies anymore.
All right. So you saw it in the theater and you were saying it wasn't very good. And you were telling me about it. I was like, all right. And then watching it, I go, it doesn't start off bad. And then immediately, like, it doesn't start off bad in the first 10-15 minutes. And then immediately doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So he escapes with this thing, sends it to his kid, and then is at a military institution where he's never going to be seen again. And I went, did I walk out of the room? Like, how did he get caught? I was totally surprised. I was like,
right when he melted the thing off, they came and got him.
Oh, that's right. All right. So it was that sort of thing. But then... And I'm just sitting there going, all right. And then he meets the wacky group of people or the vets. And I'm going, okay. And yeah. And then it just wasn't good.
It was messy. Dog,
my favorite line in the movie, which was just ridiculous as well, is the guy that shot himself in the head and gave himself a lobotomy, basically, I guess, shoots the dog in the head. The dog doesn't die. And I don't know who says it. He goes, "Well, all that proves is you're shit at shooting things in the head, or something." That got a laugh. But I didn't care about anybody in this movie. I didn't care about the kid. Nothing.
The tone of the movie was all over the place.
Yes.
Like you don't know if it's supposed to be serious or they just joking or like you know I told you, like a teenager gets blown up.
Yes.
And they don't even mention it. Like oh. Yeah. Ha ha! Like I remember seeing a movie theater, people laughed. I'm like, it was funny, but then it's like, that was a teenager. Yeah, he should have threw a drink at him, but that don't mean you gotta die. Like he died. Like, yeah, it was kind of like the tone was just all over the place. You could tell it was more than one hand in there. Like maybe Shane Black was just high, or when he was doing this, because it was just like, and I talked about with you when I first saw. I'm like, it shows the power of Marvel. People complain about, oh, you know, Marvel movies look all the same, and it's a reason for that, because you don't end up with stuff like the Predator.
Yeah,
because I saw Shane Black in Iron Man 3, and I saw Shane Black in this.
Oh, that's all I saw in this one, was his fingerprints all over it. Because the one part, like, all the characters are pretty much the same. Which even, like, I know in the original Predator, that they're all gung-ho macho, right? I get it, and that's what it was supposed to be, but they all had distinct personalities. Outside of, like, whatever tics, like, one guy makes jokes, one guy's got Tourette's, one guy's just weird, I don't get the one, and one guy's super serious.
And one guy likes Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, it's like, okay. They're doing that standoff where, you know, Olivia Munn is laying down in the bed, she wakes up, she's got the gun on him, and they're all, and then she's, like, scared, like, trying to get out of the room, she's scared, and someone says something wrong, the other guy goes, well, no, you don't do that, and all of a sudden, she starts joking around with him, too. I'm like, what just happened? She was just terrified a second ago.
No, oh, yeah, the dude with Tourette said that line, she's like, what did you say?
Yeah, that was it, yes.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and, like, I didn't say that. Like, is it, like, no, okay. Olivia Munn. Was she Tomb Raider or Black Widow? Because I'm like, she's a scientist that studies aliens. Fine. And I have no problem. You know me. I have no problem, like, independent woman fighting woman. Like, it was nothing in her background. I realized, I'm going to grab this tranquilizer gun and chase an alien and jump on a bus. And then I'm going to pick up a machine gun. And I'm like, what? She played Call of Duty? Like, I'm like, if she had a background story that justified her doing that, it's fine. It's like, she was just a scientist. She wrote a letter one time. She became a scientist. And now all of a sudden, she's Lady Jane.
Yeah. And everyone's just like, I'm like, oh.
It was very jarring because I'm like, this just seemed like, this is like, you know, people say the whole Mary Sue thing whenever a woman's confident. I'm like, there's no background whatsoever saying that she can do any of this, and she's doing all this like it's no thing, and no one's surprised. They're like, okay, she's tough, she riding around, come with me, grab the gun, protect my kid. Like, no, it'd be like if Ripley and Alien was acting like Vasquez and Aliens. Like, it's no back, like, no, like, she had no background. All of a sudden she just pick up a machine gun, start hunting the alien. Like, that's. And then, the tone was all over the place. The ending definitely got changed. And you can tell, because it's like they just filmed that like 2 weeks later. And it was just messy. But when it comes on HBO, I watch it. Because it's like, it's just funny that this movie was made this way.
I'm not sure. What do you mean by the ending? I just want to know I think I know what you're talking about. I just want to make sure.
The whole thing when they find a package and it opens up and it's like a predator killing thing. It's like, I'm a 44 long, bub. I got my new suit.
Yeah. Well, what lost me to begin with was when, okay, so how much longer in the future, or how much further on in the future is that? Because, oh my God, what's the guy's name? The actor's name.
O'Brook.
That's it. Thanks. He looked like 10 years older. Like, he had gray hair or something. And then...
The kid's the same age.
Yeah. The kid's the same age. And he's like, oh, what you doing? He's like... I go, wait a minute. Is this kid working there? Wait a goddamn minute. And then I went, whatever.
I mean, on the spectrum, that's a superpower. That's why the alien...
Thank
that's why
you. The, I didn't want to sound like a dick and bring that up, by the way.
That's not... Boy. That's the problem with... And that's the whole thing. I have a nephew that's autistic. And you can be functional, and sometimes you have like great gifts. Hollywood either makes you like, you just either you can't tie your shoes, or you can create a gravity gun.
Yeah,
like there's no in between. Like, you know, people think that you do that, you become like, you know, you don't become Iron Man. That's not how it normally works. And that's like, people had complaint with that too, rightfully so. I just rolled my eyes. I'm like, what's y'all got to do? Y'all gotta do better. Like, ask people. That's all you gotta do. So,
as a writer, you're supposed to do your research. And maybe they found something that said that. But I honestly, when she goes, well, some people think that autism and that is just the next version, next step in evolution. And I went,
who are those people?
I was like, yeah, are you fucking kidding?
I mean, I've
because
I've
one,
heard...
of my, good friends, her son has Asperger's. And it's like, I guarantee it's not a superpower. I'll tell you right now. Like, no.
Well, I guess you have to become Bizarro Superman before you can become Superman. Is that what they're trying to teach us?
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that's how that worked, actually. So
it's like, you know, he's there, loud noises bothers him, and they don't bother him again. Like, oh, I can't hear a fire alarm, but I can hear a bus blowing up. It's no problem. What? Like, dude, that's the, yeah.
Well, maybe that,
like,
cured him. Maybe we're going about this all wrong.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, it cured them. The funniest thing is, like, the Predators had more personality than some of the people.
Yeah, the entire
and
idea.
And that's like,
yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, but, you know, I've said all this about the movie, but I watch it when it comes on because, like, I can watch in the background, laugh at the parts I laugh at, and just ignore the rest. And then, poor Olivia Munn. She chose this movie. She had to deal with, like, a sex offender. They didn't even tell her. So all that stuff, and then she came out about it, and all her friends were like, oh, ain't my problem. Just basically ignored her. She chose to do X-Men Apocalypse instead of Deadpool because she just didn't want to be a regular love interest. She wanted to do something different, did all that training, and now look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Michael Fassbender without the Oscar nomination. Because he got some bad choices in movies, too.
Yep. Well. All right, let's get out of here. So, thank you for listening, everyone. Follow us on iTunes and all that good stuff. Audio updates, Stunt Granny. Look for that. You'll find us. So, we'll be back next week with another show. And I'm stumbling, so I'm out of here. Later, gang.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and please watch your fingers when you're cutting onions. We are out.
Radishes, too.
Radishes, onions.